Well, let's pray. Father, we ask and receive today, into the afternoon, this morning, to the afternoon, that you grant to us precision and accuracy in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. Let there be no error in how we receive or how it's taught, so that our eyes can behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Amen. Now, in preparation towards camp meeting, I want to do a series of teaching. I don't know whether it's going to be second service alone, but I know it will be second service at least. We call it the greater glory. Hallelujah. The greater glory. Now, remember 2015, we had a series, the glory of this latter house. Remember that? All right, so we're going to, it's a follow-up on that. Look at the word, the greater glory. I want to put an emphasis on gathering. Why do we gather? And I really want you to listen very well, because we're going to be going into quite some details, and I want you to really pay attention. Now, in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, Jacob prophesies, and he says in verse 10, Genesis 49, verse 10, the scepter, or the scepter, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now listen very well. You know, you can read the word gathering there, and you think he's talking about people coming together in a program. Unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. We are gathering together unto the Lord. You know that song? Okay. Now, the word gathering here is actually the Hebrew word for obedience. Obedience. And it's a very critical word because, let's see it. Proverbs 30 and verse 7 is the Hebrew word yikar. Y-I-Q-H-A-H. Y-I-Q-H-A-H. Proverbs 30:17. He, the eye that mocketh at his father, and despises to obey his mother. The word to obey there is the same word used for gathering in Genesis 49:10. So, Jacob is prophesying not about gatherings, like congregational meetings or assembly in a place. Rather, Jacob is talking about the entire world being in a single family. And he says it's going to be in Shiloh. Pay attention. Then, now do not forget in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 14, the writer of the Hebrews acknowledges that Jesus the Savior came out of the tribe of Judah. So, this prophecy is quite unique. Because he says, pay attention, unto him shall the gathering of the people. The word people is used for tribes or nations. Nations. In other words, in this Shiloh, all the nations shall be found. Same word here. You find it in chapter 49, verse 16. Tribes of Israel. 49:28. Tribes of Israel. So he's saying everyone shall be in this single tribe. In other words, he's prophesying about Jesus. Hallelujah. Now the word scepter, alright, or scepter, whatever, also has to do with authority. Okay? Authority. And the word lawgiver, alright, means to write. So he's not talking about giving Ten Commandments. The lawgiver here refers to the Hebrew word shekach. C-H-A-Q-A-C. Q-A-H. Let me get back to something I missed out now. The word scepter actually is the word tribes. That was an error. It's the word tribes. The tribes shall not depart from Judah, for unto him shall all the people be gathered. It's the word shebet. S-H-E-B-E-T. Tribes. So he's saying that there will be a writing of this person, Shiloh. And this Shiloh, which is a place or a person, in him or in this place shall all the tribes and the people be one tribe. In other words, Jacob is prophesying all nations will be found in Christ and for Christ. But do not forget, it will be a function of obedience, or what we can call faith. So, it will be a tribe of faith. A tribe of believers. All the nations shall be gathered in him. That's why he uses the word gathered. That is, they shall obey and they shall by faith be found in this person. So in other words, there will come just one tribe. What is he saying? He's saying, or he's prophesying, a family that will be found in this person. A family. Till Shiloh come. So he prophesies he that shall come. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, that their faith was the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, this is a prophecy not about people coming together in a room, but rather coming together in a person. And the person foreseen here is Christ. Pay very good attention. I want your mentality of Christian gathering to change. Because God wants it to change. So you must really listen. Now, look at God and his man. Oftentimes, the major issue in Christian gatherings at all, whether you're looking at from the Old Testament or today, will be God. Say, when we invite people, come and have an encounter with God. So look at the word, come and have an encounter with God. So, in other words, we have put God somewhere where people can come and see him. And somehow at the back of our minds, even as believers, he's still ingrained somewhere in our minds. So, listen very well. Look at what Jacob prophesied. He said, the old family, or a family, will be found in this being. This person. Shiloh. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Adam and Eve. I'll read verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of his garden. Of the garden. Or in the cool of the day, sorry. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now this is the first time you will hear they heard his voice. Before now, we were not told that they heard his voice. And he says, walking in the cool of the day. The Hebrew word here is the word qual, sound. K-O-L, sound. To make sound. It's used for utterance. An utterance. You see the same word in Genesis 3:17. You hearken to the voice of your wife. Genesis 4:10. The voice of your brother's blood cries out. The utterance. Now, listen carefully. Until now, we do not have any record that they were hearing his voice. Or his voice was somewhere and they were elsewhere. In fact, and consistently, listen carefully, in Genesis 1, verse 2 to 3, the first activity of God we found. I told you Genesis is Moses' teaching ministry. Okay? The reason why we have problems with scientists many times about the creation story is that we fail to realize that Moses was discussing both salvation and the creation of the world. When you hear about waters before the earth was created, that shows you it is figurative. When you hear about light before the sun was created, that shows you the light was figurative. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Huh? Are you following this? And when Moses was mentioning 7 days, it didn't mean that God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. No, it was actually once. But Moses is teaching. Because he had to use the seventh day as the day of the gospel. The day of rest. The day nothing happened. Are you listening? Okay, if you're not listening, fine. But he had to use that. I told you before, it is Moses' teaching ministry. And we are not taught that way. Amen. Okay. Now, the first activity of God is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And then he says, and God said. So, the first activity is sound. So, say sound. Say sound. He said. Listen well. Somehow, sin consciousness has pushed us to seeing God's primary activity in our feelings. So you have things like, I felt his presence. We'll see that shortly. So he says, the voice of God walked in the cool of the day. So there was an actual distance created by man's disobedience. An actual distance. Now the question you and I must ask, and we're going to answer it in this service, and that's why I'm going to combine this with Wednesday services. They're going to be two different subjects, but they are going to the same destination. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Very good. So, where was God speaking from? You know? You know where I was speaking from? He said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So, it also shows you that the heaven and the earth have the same lifespan. They have the same lifespan now. Alright? The heaven and the earth created once. So where was he before heaven was created? Are you following me? Good. We'll answer that later. But then the first thing is realize that God does not exist in a vacuum. Or would I say in a container? I probably will have to rephrase what I just said now because it can be misleading if I don't explain it. So, where was he before? There was no temple, there was no house, there was no church. And did you also observe that after man sinned, God was relating with them and there was no house? Did you observe same thing with Cain? So we'll check that as we proceed. So, yeah, this very well. In Galatians 3:8, Paul says, the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. If God preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations or the families of the earth be blessed, or the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, where did he speak from? Where did he speak from? Let me see if I'm following what I'm saying. Are you following this? Are you following? Where did he speak from? So, look at David's confession. Very key. David's confession. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 9. Hallelujah. Whither shall I go from your spirit? And whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, that's the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So, imagine David knows this and yet he pays for the building of a temple. You already know this. So then why did he give his son money to build a temple for God? Are you following what I'm saying here? He says, where can I go from your spirit? Ruach, that which is like a wing. And he says, if I make my bed, you are there in hell. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I go to all the Father, you are there. Your right hand will lead me. That's David. So, David knew this. And then we're going to see Moses himself, who pioneered the pioneer of the building of temples. Moses, who was the pioneer of the building of temples, the question was, how was he relating with God before the temple was built? In fact, the first person also, who called a place Bethel, Jacob, was that the first time he will hear from God? No. So why did he build a place? Am I making sense here? Am I making sense here? So listen quite very well. Let's look at one key word. Let's look at Hebrews 8:5, as Moses built the temple, or he gave instructions for the temple to be built. I believe I explained much of this in the teaching wrath of God, but I'll just go over it again. Who served? Let me start from 4. If he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that the priest that offered gifts according to the law. Who serve unto the examples, two posts, and shadow, some say shadow of heavenly things. Now hear this. What is a shadow? Skia. What is skia? Darkness. What is darkness? You cannot see what was there. So, in other words, the darkness or the temple that Moses built, alright, further colored our thinking from what God wanted. Because what were they doing in the temple? They were offering sacrifices. Who asked them for sacrifice? Nobody. God didn't require one single sacrifice. But they were doing it. And we found out that Moses himself offered none. He didn't worship in the temple he asked them to be. So when he was on the Holy Mount and he was seen, he was shown, what was he shown? Moses was shown what Christ will do. And because of their unbelief, Moses made them do it. So everything they were doing in the temple was whose work? Was whose work? It was Jesus' work that they could not do. So, pay attention now. Hebrews 10, verse 5 to 8 will make sense. Hebrews 10, verse 5 to 8. Let's start from verse 1. Let's read it together. Hebrews 10, 1. Let's take it together. For the law. Hebrews 10, 1. Let's go. For the law. A shadow of good things to come. So the law is not good. One. It's a shadow. What's a shadow again? Scare. Things were dark. And not the very image of those things. The word image is the Greek word eikon. E-I-K-O-N. That is, it's not even like the thing. You know, we always say it's a shadow. It's a type of shadow. It's not even like it. Because whatever Jesus was going to do, which will be ours by faith, Moses gave it to them by works. Do you get it? Do you understand it? Moses knew it was Christ's sacrifice. He knew that. And he said it to them. But when they refused that, he built them a temple. You don't want his work? Okay, try your own. So, listen carefully. It is not even the very image of it. He doesn't have it. And somehow in our minds, we still retain subtly, many Christians, that temple worship. Obviously, God led the children of Israel from Egypt out without a temple. So, what brought about the temple? Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. You need to realize these things are a product of the law of sin and death. So, go to Hebrews 10, verse 5. Can we read it together? Hebrews 10, verse 5. Let's go. We're going to read to verse 9 or verse 10. We're going to take it together. Can we go? Let's go. It says, sacrifice and offering thou wilt not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Let's take 6 together. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, thou hast no, who was collecting it? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It written of me to do thy will, O God. Let's take verse 8 together. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou will not, neither has pleasure which are offered by the law. Then said he, verse 9, let's go. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. It takes away the first. So was the first his will? Talk to me. Was the first his will? It takes away the first that would establish his will. Because God is not requiring offering from anybody. It was sin's requirement and God promised to offer it. And that was the gospel that Moses offered. But these folks, they did not mix it with faith. So Moses gave them the law. Do you understand that? We have done this over and over again. If they wake you up in the middle of the night and say, why was the law given? Even when you are not fully awake, you should explain it. Hallelujah. Is that clear? We have explained this, law and prophets. What else? Two kinds of righteousness. Law in Genesis. Everything is clear enough. Except we write another Bible. So, pay attention. This was not done. When you hear shadow, God does not do shadows. In Him is no darkness at all. The shadow came because of unbelief. God does not do shadows. Is that very clear? Without shadow of, there's not the same word. I want to chance you. Without shadow, shadow, that's not the same shadow. Hallelujah. It's a bit stronger than that. So, Moses built the temple in darkness. Did Moses worship in it? Was Moses related to God in it?
No.
Did he ever need Aaron? He was going in and out of that temple with ease and telling them to put blood on their own body. Because Moses knew the riches of Christ. He knew that. So, what was this going to do to their conscience? Listen carefully. This is important. You mustn't lose this. Let's take verse 10. Okay, let's take verse 10 together. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once. Someone say once. Very good. The word once is so important to understand the will of God. Once. So, why were they doing it? Look at verse 2. Let's take verse 2 together. Let's go. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sins. So what happens, verse 3? In those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So, look at conscience. The word conscience is the word sunedesis in the Greek, S-U-N-E-I-D-S-I-S. S-U-N-E-I-D-S-I-S. Listen very well to what I'm about to say. Conscience is man-made. You are responsible for your conscience. Sunedesis is used for a persisting notion. You know, this morning that we're talking about, what's the title again? The encounters with the God kind. And I said to you in the morning, I said, the reason why many of you believe in generational curses was because they told you. They told you. And I think I need to repeat something I said in the morning. They told you. So that you now get superstitious. Can you imagine? My phone battery went off. That was the time they were trying to reach me from London to send me a particular alert. That's when my car broke down. Say, what's going on? What is going on? What you just said? But when you have been watching a particular channel on DSTV, I didn't mention it, so God help your heart. I told you, there are some things, if you expose yourself to them, you just become stupid. Really stupid. And you begin to trace things because you created that conscience yourself. So, you know, I discovered something. Every time I'm about to write my final exam, I just have this headache. It's not ordinary eye. Something is wrong with you. How do people pray? Say every, you enter a car. You, a university overgraduate. You enter a car. You begin to plead the blood of Jesus against blood-sucking spirits. Spirits that will easily be cast away if they made the road well. You enter a car and you begin to bind and loose. Rather than check your tire, check the engine, then what you're supposed to do, you now bind that, whereas the demon is in the tire. You see, you see unbelievers enjoy the blessings of God because they are using it. It's called the brain. So, there are some things, don't become stupid. They make you stupid. You watch some movies, and then you see someone say, Pastor, yesterday night, my head was just banging, bang, bam. I knew they were calling my name. Of course, people will be calling your name. You have friends all over the place. They will mention you in discussions and conversations. So, no, I mean, they are calling my destiny. You just become more stupid. You created that consciousness. You didn't bother who your grandfather was until you went to a church service and said, the person to a problem. Which village are you from? You now say Ijebu. Of course. I was told to change my surname. When I told the brother, I said, I discovered though that my surname is not Road. Say, what is this? I said, those who carve for idols. Ah! What have you done about it? What should I change to? Jesu Yinka. I'm not that bad. Or no. It's O-N-A. Eshu. It's E-S-E. Eshu. Ogu is O-G-U-N. You have Ogu, Ogu, Ogu. Ogu. Eh? Ogu. 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 So, you are the one that created the consciousness of an idol. And you now become stupid. Rather than plan very well for your business or for your, is that what you say? Early in the morning. Rather than, you know who your client is going to pour and everything. You are getting daft by the day. Daft. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, the conscious. Now look at 1 Corinthians 8. That's where I was going. Conscience is man-made. You know, you can feel bad about wearing makeup. Pastor spoke years ago. Sorry, I have to use it. She didn't used to wear trousers. She said she just feels. I said, come. Today. 2001, right? 2001. I said, today. Thou shalt reap in paradise. You will wear it. Say, hello. Pastor, no. But can you imagine? What she's now wearing, I will say, it's too much. No, Pastor, no. Pastor, no. Okay, later. I said, no, it's today. There was no sister like that. I said, you're wearing makeup today. I said, Pastor, I'm not saying it's wrong. I said, you are wearing it. I said, Pastor, no. It's not like that. It's just a confusion. I said, don't worry. Well, let us sing this song. Oh, yeah? He began to paint her face. Pastor, I said, you created that consciousness. Yes, sir. You see food, you are praying over it for evil spirit. Are you okay? Something is fundamentally wrong with you. Fundamental is a basic issue. She said, wear it. That's how she wore it. And she has not stopped wearing it. She said, make up for this sister. They made up. That sister, after a while, her sister, this is too much. Have you observed some people that cross over from the other side? So this person, as you sister Clara, sister Jeanette, that you used to wear skirt like Sound of Music. Now she's in here and say, sister, put me down small. Say, oh, is this suit upside? I would just, Hallelujah. So it was a consciousness. You know, when I was a younger Christian, if I want to buy a shirt, I will look at what was drawn on the shirt. Does this glorify the Lord? The Lord. The Lord. And we believe that you have to have skin cut. So by the time you have something like, I don't know, there's no judgment, but you just go direct to empire. But you know, it was a conscience that you heard something. It was what you heard that created a consciousness. Paul says, I did not know sin until the Lord said, thou shalt not commit. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. Conscience is man-made. What did I say? So when someone say, Lord, you seem so far away, it is conscience that is disturbing you. Is your conscience that is troubling you? Look at it, 1 Corinthians 8:4. As concerning therefore eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know. Can I say we know? Are you sure about that we? Are you sure you are part of the we? Ask your neighbor, say, are you the we? Because I see you collect salamita, you are praying in tongues. No, nothing wrong, I'm just praying in tongues normally, sir. We know that an idol is nothing in the world. And there's none other but God, other God but one. Look at verse 7. Let's take verse 7 together. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some have the consciousness of the idol until this hour. So, see, it's a function of what? Knowledge. That's why most of all these father and die, every spirit in your cup, every cup in your spirit, they are from Africa. It's a consciousness. While we are still battling the spirit, blood-sucking spirit, so people are doing road upon road. That is, you can pass through, you go to countries, and you see people use their mind properly. We are using our mind to chase every generational course. How would you develop when you are thinking about evil spirits? Your mind is a terrible thing to waste. You're not thinking straight. The moment you're supposed to sit down on your business or your academics and to read, you are thinking somebody is calling your name for the village. They are really calling you. You have a consciousness. And Paul repeated the same in 1 Corinthians 10. A conscience. He said you went somewhere to go and eat. They call you for a party. Like the dirty line. Call you for a party. And Afa Momo. You know that they normally offer these things to Ifa. You know there's nothing called Ifa. It's just Ifa. IFA. You know. So you went there. Paul says, look, if any unbeliever, verse 27, should call you for a party, he said, go. Paul says, don't even ask questions. Don't say, Shafi, I want to, where was this thing killed? Who killed him? He said, don't ask all stupid questions. For conscience sake. So you will not create an unnecessary consciousness. So, however, there's one brother who just shows up. He starts the escaping rope. He just says, bro, just say, what did you come here to do? This meat is offered to Ogun. He said, you know the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, but for the sake of that brother's conscience, don't eat it. Well, me, what I will do is I'll put the meat in my pocket. I said, bro, how are you? Bless you. what did you come here to do? But the point is, conscience is man-made. So that conscience of sin that made people ask for forgiveness of sin was made by man. It was never made by God. Because the character of God, which we saw, and which we saw in his dealings with Abraham, was that he will not reckon with sin. So man made the conscience of sin. That consciousness of sin is man made. You know, some people for years did not watch television. They say it's devil's box. Someone told me, when I was there, they told me it's devil's box. I said, when it gets to the devil, I'll change it. When I see the devil there, I will change the channel. I'm watching Green Eagles. I know they are not devils. So there's me and my fellowship leader, I was the assistant fellowship coordinator. We will go and watch it. We have an hypocritical way of getting and say, bro, bless you. Where do you want to buy goods? They were green goods there. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. But bless you. How are you? Oh, bless you. I will go. He didn't have TV in his house, but watching somewhere else. And many of them feel the TV away. Now look at how can someone who went to school call TV devil's box? Is that not ordinary eye? How can someone write a book that they made cars underwater and go and return your degree? You believed it. Take your degree, go back to whoever sent you to school and apologize for wasting their money. They said they make relaxer in evil spirit and you read it and you did not laugh and you were scared. Take your certificate from primary school, secondary school, university and any other one. Return it. If it's your village that sent you, call a village meeting and apologize for wasting their money. Abba. Conscience is man. Whatever you permit into your heart becomes its consciousness. If you are sin conscious, if you are self conscious, you'll be confessing sins. If you are conscious of Christ, you'll be confessing what he has done. So, conscience is man-made. Look at Romans 14. Somebody sees food. He says, this one is not good for God. As though it goes into God's belly. Romans 14. Paul says, the man is weak in the faith. Romans 14:1. He's weak in the faith. So those people that say, don't touch this, don't touch that. They are not the spiritual people. It's not spiritual people that say, don't touch. It is actually weak Christians. Are you following what I'm saying? I wrote a Facebook post on worldly music. And the guy was telling me, but music has a spirit. I said, what's his name? You better sing good songs into your life. See how you are. All the songs you know is I love you with the love of the Lord. Is that the only song available in the world? You don't know any other song but church song. How can the only song you know be church song? See how you're looking at me. Ah, see conscience. The devil is a liar. They say, Pastor. See, can't you compose a song that is not such song? Do it. Do you call it Satan? There are some correct songs though. I don't want to tell you so. I was in the car with, we're three preachers in the car. So I just told Brokoli, I said, play that Obey for me. Not, evangelist, it's commander. I don't listen to evangelist, I listen to commander. So I said, play commander. We're three preachers. The first kept quiet. I knew what I was doing. And after a while, I said, we're all thinking. I said, so we all know this song. How can you toss your wife with scripture? Are you alright? You can't even sing. You can't write a poem. You need to be saying, 1 John 4:18. For who? Conscience is man-made. Amen. I wish to avoid those that have lewd lyrics, of course. Unhealthy, yes. But there are some very good songs. Some people go for NYSE and they now go and get approval to wear skirts. How can you? It's bad enough you are wearing khaki khaki. You don't want to wear khaki. God punish the devil. Really? This is not, it's just funny. They asked a pastor who has a church that where they have all those different nations under one church. He went to America. He said, sir, this was a wearing church. I said, the cold in America. I said, so it's a weather problem. The God here respects winter. It's false doctrine. Simple. Hallelujah. So have a good conscience. I have a healthy conscience. I have a Christ conscience. Praise God. You see a Christian thinking that because of what she did before she got born again, that's why she doesn't have children. And the unbeliever who is not thinking about that has children. He has believed. She has not believed. She has a child. They say you need deliverance. The person who said that needs deliverance. Sometimes when you counsel people, they need to just use their brain. Hallelujah. Use your brain. Jesus washed your sins. He didn't include your brains. So if you're a new creature, don't change your name. So I'm a new creature. So my new name is what? So I can't remember. All things have passed away. No worry. Your failure is waiting for you. Romans 8:2. The law of the spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Say, I'm set free from the law of sin and death. I have a Christ consciousness. I don't have a self consciousness. I don't have a sin consciousness. Look at Psalm 23. So, let me ask again. What brought about the building of the temple? The gospel or sin consciousness? Huh? Did God need the temple to talk to them? But they used the temple to relate with him. It was sin's creation. Psalm 23, verse 6. David? This is also a confession of people today in church. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Talk to your neighbor, say, surely, surely. A guy, was one program, a guy said, did you see anything? I said, I was speaking in tongues. I don't want to embarrass you. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all days of your life, and you are doing that love forever. The guy is actually placing a curse on you. This is a prophecy. Pay attention. David said, let me rearrange it for you in the Hebrew. He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. The word forever is just with the word days of my life. Forever, all the days of my life. It is the word orek. Orek means forever. Now, this, do you know this? Now, look up, please. Did David witness the building of the temple? Did he? So, was he talking about the temple?
No.
So, he says, goodness and mercy. The word goodness is the Hebrew word chesed. It means loving kindness. It is the Hebrew word for grace. Chesed. C-H-E-C-E-D. Or C-H-E-S-E-D. It means grace. What God gives. David knew the law did nothing. He says, surely what you give, hallelujah, your generosity, your graciousness. And he says, and your mercy. The word mercy is the word goodness. 562 times in the Hebrew is the word tov, T-O-W-B. What's he saying? He's saying your loving kindness is your goodness. The word tov, T-O-W-B, is used for something that is beautiful. He's saying God's beauty is his grace. That what makes God look good is his grace. He's saying surely your grace, which is your beauty, will be with me forever. Someone say forever. Say forever. So if he mentions forever, was he talking about the Old Testament or eternity? Huh? Eternity. So David here is speaking prophetically about a house. And that house cannot be a building. Are you with me? It can't be a building. Because if it's a building, it cannot be forever. And if it's a building, he definitely will not dwell in it. So, David's prophecy cannot be your confession. Are you there? Look at it. Acts 2:25. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Why did David speak like this? Let's take verse 30 together. Acts 2, verse 30. Let's go. Therefore, being a prophet, come on, let's take it again. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing, that God has sworn with an oath to him, of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did his corruption. So David spoke as a prophet. Go back to Psalm 23. I will dwell in the Lord's house, that is, forever, I will dwell in the Lord's house. Was there a building for the Lord when he was saying it? No. The minute a building comes to your mind, what kind of consciousness is that? Sin consciousness. The minute you think about a place, you have sin consciousness. It's a consciousness that we have created because we think, even as believers today, that there is a distance. So, look at the word he used, the Lord's house. The Hebrew is the word Beis. B-A-Y-I-T-H. B-A-Y-I-T-H. It is often used for household. Genesis 6:14. Let me just run through that. Genesis 6:14. Beis. Thou shalt make in the ark. In. I shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Genesis 7:1. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house. All thy beis. Was he building a, bringing a building in of people? Huh? Genesis 12:1. Get thee out of your country and from thy kindred and from your father's household. Genesis 12:15. Pharaoh's household. Genesis 12:17. His household. Genesis 15:2 and 3. Seeing I go childless and the steward of my house. Verse 3. One born in my house is my heir. So Beis was used oftentimes for family. We'll explore this later. So, when David was prophesying, I will dwell in the Lord's family. He's not talking about a place. I will dwell in the Lord's family. In other words, he was talking about the realities we have today in Christ. Sonship. So, Beis is used for a household. A household. Not a place. A household. Not a household. Not a place. Exodus 15 verse 2. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Exodus 15 verse 2. Let's look at the song of Moses. Verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And spake saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation, he is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. An habitation. What do you mean habitation? Moses uses the word Navar. Moses said, I will be for him an habitation. Navar. I will be for him an habitation. That's what he said in Hebrew. So, Moses is speaking again of God's habitation, Navar, N-A-V-A-H, the word home. Or some Hebrew writers will call it rest. Somewhere within. So, Moses, before the temple was created, called Wu God's house. Man. He hadn't made the temple. Let's go further. Therefore, you see, in Exodus 33, he had this long conversation about telling God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I mean, Moses is saying, show me your glory. He's not talking about the temple. Because the temple did not have the presence of God. Just show me your glory. What the temple had was sin consciousness. Pay attention. Why then was the temple built? Exodus 19, verse 5 to 6. What was God's promise to them? He says in verse 5, Exodus 19, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Verse 6. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. And an holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Let's look at their response. He called them priests. Okay. He called them kings. Look at their response. Exodus 20, verse 19. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. Let not God speak with us, lest we die. So they appointed Moses as their go-in-between. God never chose Moses to be the mediator. They chose him. And for 40 years, they were like that. So, here's Jesus. He comes into the temple. In fact, Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 66 verse 1. He said, well, heaven is my throne, here's my footstool. Where is the house that you are built? You wonder? So, heaven is not his house. Heaven is not his house. Heaven is not his house. We'll see that next week. Heaven is not his house. We told you, if heaven was created, he was somewhere. Hallelujah. Are we together here? So, here's Jesus. He walks into the temple. He says, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. And just like you and I, they said, do you know how many years it took to build this temple? The Bible says, it was when he rose from the dead, go to John 2, that they remembered, verse 19, that he was talking about what? His body. Someone say the church. Say the church. Say the church. He was talking about his body. Someone say his body. Say his body. So, did God ever intend to dwell in a place? No. Has he ever done so?
No.
Jesus entered into the physical temple and annulled it. This is the temple. Moses knew that. Moses knew that before he builds a temple for Israel. Can you see it? Can you see it? Moses knew that. So, here this is. In Matthew 18 and Matthew 16, I want you to see something quickly. Matthew 18. And Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I don't have a temple consciousness. Say, I don't have a temple consciousness. Matthew 18. Jesus says, look at this. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, the two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The point is, what's he talking about? Where two are gathered, the word gather is the word S-U-N-A-G-O. In the Greek, sunago, S-U-N-A-G-O. It was used for hospitality and to receive. Listen very well. What was he talking about? He says, someone offends you. Go to him. Someone, listen very well here. Someone, he doesn't listen, go with two or three. He doesn't listen, tell it to the church. And then take him as a sinner and a publican. Now, he's talking about, why did he say that? Because he was talking about the church, the brethren. Take him as a sinner and a publican. So he now says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. If two of you shall agree. What do you mean agree? Sunago means to be hospitable. To receive. Now what are we binding and what are we losing? Look at the next thing his disciples asked him. They asked him, how many times do I have to do this? So what was Jesus teaching? Forgiveness. The binding and losing was what? What was the issue? Someone offends you. What do you bind and lose in that instance? Demons. To bind and lose has to do with something that is within your authority. So if someone offends you, what should you bind? Unforgiveness. What should you lose? Huh? Look at verse 21. So if two or three of you shall agree, what do you do? Shall receive. Who are you receiving? The offending party. That's why the next question, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Can you see? So what was Jesus teaching? And you are going for deliverance with these verses. What was he teaching? What was he teaching? So what are you binding? What are you losing? What are you agreeing to do? Sunago means to receive. So, as he finished that, he said, sir, how many times do I have to do this? He said, 70 times? You have to keep doing it. Hallelujah. So, said, there I am in the midst of it. Okay, the word is meso in the Greek. It means I will be seen. So, where would Jesus be seen there? In forgiveness. Can you see it now? In what? Forgiveness. So, he will be seen in our action towards the offending party. Let me say it for that thing. Is it very clear to you? He's not talking about demons, though. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aha. So, what we're supposed to do to a sinner and a publican is what? Kill him. Forgive. So, Jesus is in the midst of what? Our gathering or our action. With everything we have just said now. Is it our coming together or our action? Our coming together or our action? So, we will receive that brother in his name. What is his name? Forgiveness of sin. Remission of sin. Praise God. I said, praise God. So, our actions show his meso, his presence, his sight. Matthew 16:19. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever things you bind on earth, whatever you bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. So we do not gather unto God. We don't gather for Jesus to be in our midst. That is sin consciousness. We don't gather for him. Neither do we gather unto him. Because there are some songs I plan will change the wordings this afternoon. Praise God. Because sometimes we forget to change our songs. We like them. You know, you can like a song so well. You can like a minister of the gospel well, and you ignore his preaching nonsense. Someone saying, say, well, you know my heart. How do I know your heart? It's what you say I can hear. Hallelujah. You must not get emotional about songs. There are some songs I like. I even sing them personally. They don't mean anything, but I just remember those and I sing it. You want to know the songs? I will never tell you. You know, I was into the brother thing. So we have some songs. When we sing it like this, the Holy Spirit will just move. John 14:2. Are you in church? Are you in church? In my Father's house, Oikia is translated from Begit. So can we say, in my Father's household? Huh? Can we say that? In my Father's household, there are many mansions. Mansion means room. So if I say, in a household, there are rooms, what would the room be? Sonship. Hallelujah. That's basic, right? If I say, in the family, there is room, what would the room be? being a son. Not a gathering. And that's why for a long time, many people have assumed this verse was referring to going to heaven. It was used for rapture. Whereas Jesus was talking about family. Look at Ephesians 2:19, the same word. Ephesians 2:19. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. Ephesians 2:19. Let's go. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the oikia of God. We are the household of God. So we are the household of God. We are that family of God. John 14, I'll close it. John 14. John 14. Verse 23. If a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our what? Meno. That's the same word mansion. We'll make our mansion with him. Bad translation. We'll make our mansion in him. In him. So the mansion is where? Is it there or here? Here. So that means there's room in us, and that room is sonship within. So in verse 17, how does that happen? Even the, look at Psalm 16. I'll pray the Father who give you another comfort that may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. So look at the word abide, abode, abide, abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him nor neither knows him, but you know him for he abides with you, the same word dwelleth, mansion, and shall be where? Shall be where?
In.
Shall be where?
In.
So I say in. In you. So, is it very well? There is nothing in the mind of God of us coming before him. We never come before him. That thinking is from the law. We don't come before him. See, the moment God is here, you are not his son. The moment you have to go to him, or he has to come to you, you are not his son. That distance is a sin consciousness. That you want to pray, and you have an imagination, he's hearing you. And he's hearing you from a distance. Let me tell you, even if it's 0.0001 meter, it is still a distance. Don't say, God is so close to me. He's not close to you. He is in you. And you are in him. We're going to explore this more. But you see, so then why do we come together? That's what we have to discover. The moment they say, you know, let me use another this. I did it on Sunday, on Wednesday. Let me do it again. Come, bro. Nice seeing you. Now, no matter how close this this is still with me. You know, this is so close. We're going around. No matter how close that is, there's a distance. I'm not in. But when I am in, there is no distance. Thank you. That distance we still have when we sing and when we pray is created by a consciousness. You are the one that got that consciousness from the songs you sing, from the things you heard. Come down, Holy Spirit, come down. Those are even 30 words. We're going to correct some now. Amen. Because one of the ways we're going to enjoy the greater glory is understanding what has happened in Christ. Amen. Jesus in John 14:13 says, in verse 12, He that believes on me, the work I do, and shall he do also. And greater than this, because I go unto my Father. In the greater, our preposition is in. So I say in. In. So, why do we sing? We don't sing for him. Like, he's somewhere, and then we are, you know, I'm singing for you. So you are watching me. And I'm saying, okay, something that makes me, tell me, that's a bad one. That's too bad. Let's sing someone that's closer. That's a terrible one. You might even joke with that one. Something that makes me, I'm singing it again. You like that song a lot. You know? So you think that you are before God. So you are singing for him to hear. And with our hands lifted up, we are before you rejoicing. Before you. So I'm thinking, how do we sing? We are not before him. We are not before him. Our songs acknowledge him. Not sing for him. Hebrews 13:16. Acknowledging his name. Our songs take cognizance. They put our attention. So those songs are not for him. They are actually for us. So we can say, and with eyes lifted high. But let's change it now. We come before you. See, you don't even have words. Huh? What about this one? Every time that we are gathered, gathering his name, there you are awesome in power and in strength. So let us continually offer, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for he inhabits above the praises of his people. Well, not David. Even David knew better. Amen. So, we must alter the songs of, we are singing for him. We are coming before him. Say, we are coming to your presence. As the grace, whether grace or spirit. You know, we have not come. Hallelujah. We are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's sing it together now. Who was the person who wanted to change? And with our hands lifted high, we are. Help me. You're in us. We are in him and rejoicing. Okay. And with our hands lifted high, we are in him and rejoicing. With our hands lifted high, the Lord. All right. For the Lord is better. You know, you know those songs create a conscience for you. With our hands lift high, for the Lord is better than to the Lord. Huh? In the Lord. Okay. With our hands lifted high, in the Lord. When the world wonders why, we just tell them we love. Let's take it. Alright. We bless the name of the Lord of glory. We bless the name of the King of Kings. We bless the name of the Lord of glory. We bless the name. We bless the name of the King, and with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing, and we are in him and rejoice, and with our hands lifted high in the Lord, when the world wonders why, we'll just tell them the Lord be the King. Oh, 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 oh.
Let's take it again.
And with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. And with our hands lifted high, we are in heaven rejoice. And we sing with our hands lifted high in the Lord. When the world wonders why, we'll just stand and
let's say it one more time.
And with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. And with our, we are in heaven rejoice. So we sing with our hands lifted high in the Lord. When the world wonders why, we'll just stand and pray. Oh, 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 we'll just stand.
Okay, we are part of this one. Okay.
Every time that we are gathered together in your name, you're in us awesome in power and in strength. So let us continually offer sacrifice to you, for it is good to sing praises to our God.
Right. For
you inhabit
let's create something now.
You inhabit the hearts of
let that flow.
You inhabit the hearts of your people.
No, no, don't use people. Don't use people. Of your children, right?
You inhabit the hearts of your children. And I praise in sweet incense unto you. And the lifting up.
We've gone back to the Old Testament. We have Old Testament God said,
you inhabit the hearts of your people.
Of your children.
And I praise in sweet incense unto you. And the lifting of our hands.
Let's move in place sacrifice. Is that what? Is that a living sacrifice? No. Our body is a living sacrifice. We don't use us.
And the lifting of our hands
is a holy sacrifice. Holy. Is a holy offering. Take something, We are changing it together. Huh? What fits in? Okay, what? Bishop, you don't have anything. No utterance. help us. We'll change it now. We'll close. Huh?
And the lifting of our hands is a worthy offering. And lifting of our hands, it is a worthy offering. Offering.
That makes sense, right? That's consistent. Okay, let's try and take it like that.
It is a worthy offering. Lord, we love you.
I think it makes sense.
Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Oh Lord, we love you.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Let's take it now.
Every time that we are gathered together in your name, you are in us awesome in power.
Let's take it again.
Every time that we are gathered Together in your name, you're in us awesome, in power and in strength. So as we continue, we offer sacrifice to you, for it is good to sing praises for our God. For he inhabits the hearts of the children, and I pray he sweet incense unto you, and the lifting of our hands, it is a worthy offering. Lord, we love you. Oh Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Oh Lord, we love you. Yes, we do.
Yes.